Inconceivable!
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers gotta hug.
Welcome to the Cheap Seats and Stick Man Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. It's been a long, long wait. Cheap Seats and the Stick Man Podcast is back. The hiatus is over. I am Cheap Seats, Jason Burgos. He is the Stick Man, Jose Maldonado. I'm just so glad to hear your voice again, Jose.
Oh, we are back, and it feels good to be back, bro. How have you been? What's been going on with you, my man?
Oh, my God, just too busy, but not too busy to get some cheap seats in the Stickman action going. It's been way too long, and everybody, this is a special edition of the show. We came out of hiatus, came out of hibernation for one thing only. That is WrestleMania season. WrestleMania is just days away. It's this Sunday. We felt it was the perfect time to do an edition of the show. We love giving lists on the show. It's our time to do the top 10 WrestleMania matches of all time, Cheap Seats and Stickman style.
Yes, man. I mean, Mania Week is like Christmas to wrestling fans. All kinds of events going on, everything leading up to it, not just from WWE, from all kinds of promotions. And then, you know, WWE itself got the Hall of Fame on Friday, NXT on Saturday, and of course the big show on Sunday. So what better time to bust out our little, our wrestling expertise and put our stamp on our what we feel are the top 10 WrestleMania matches of all time.
Now, the way we're basing this list on is we're going with the criteria of quality of match, and also its relevance, be it historically, at the time, overall, you know, lasting ramifications. But it's a mix, you know. So that's why we're going to first bring up our honorable mentions, you know, and you get an idea of what we're kind of going with, because these did not make the top 10. Now the first
just a
one,
taste, just a taste for y'all.
Yeah. Now the first one for honorable mentions is the classic epic encounter between Andre the Giant and Hulk Hogan for WrestleMania 3. Early thoughts on that one. Why do you think it wasn't enough to make the top 10, Jose?
Well, yeah, it's crazy. It's one of the most iconic, if not the most iconic, matches in WWE history. With Hogan slamming Andre, the immovable force, meaning the immovable object. But honestly, if we're going to consider match quality just wasn't all that compared to the other 10.
Yeah, I agree. Classic. It's just, you know, it's an old school kind of match. It's one of those things that it's best as like a lasting memory picture in your mind, but it's not something you want to go, oh man, I want to watch that over, say, some of the ones that will be on our top 10. Now, moving on to the next honorable mention is Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, who he's on this list a lot. He's
Mr. Just a couple times.
He's Mr. WrestleMania for good reason. HBK versus Ric Flair from WrestleMania 24. I know you're a big fan of this one. Why do you think it did not make the 10?
You know, I had the honor and privilege of being here live for that one, WrestleMania 24. I think it just missed the list because, I mean, it's just, that's the thing about WrestleMania. Everybody brings their A game, and as awesome as this match was, as important as it was in the career of Ric Flair, one of the greatest of all time, being retired, we'll get into it when we get into our 10, but, you know, there was just a few more matches that had slight more importance, slight more quality than this one. Not to take anything away from this match, it just didn't quite crack the top 10.
Yep, completely agree. Now, on to our third and final honorable mention. It is the Triple Threat World Championship match from WrestleMania 20 between Chris Benoit, Triple H, and also another Shawn Michaels match. I think this seems similar to the HBK and Flair match. Just really good match that just a smidge short compared to
just this. A bit outside the top 10. But yeah, and it's a shame that this one's kind of get lost to the annals of time, obviously because of the whole Chris Benoit situation. Totally awesome match, but, you know, like you said, there's just a few more that were maybe slightly better in quality and slightly better in importance.
Yeah, and now moving on to our 10, what was fun about this entire process for both of us is that we went through all these matches. We looked at them, we had some fun analyzing, we had some good debate.
This was the homework assignment that was actually fun to do.
And for the most part, our minds were like one. Now, you know, moving on to our 10, I'll take number 10. I this is one that I when I racked my brain, I thought about it, and I watched it, and I remember it. Oh, it's amazing. And it might be a surprise for some of you people, but our number 10 is from WrestleMania 22, Mick Foley versus Edge in a hardcore epic.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, and hardcore epic is right. We're talking flaming tables. We're talking, you know, Mick Foley and Edge in street clothes just going at it. And it's, you know, going back to it, you figure, does it hold up? It absolutely does, man. Entertaining, crazy match, and important in the career of Mick Foley because he's a dude that was in a lot of great WrestleMania matches and moments, but he never quite had that one defining WrestleMania moment. This match did that for him, and Edge was one that gave it to him.
Yeah, it was the last great hurrah of an amazing career. And at that point, you know, and what's interesting, you know, this is following up 2 years removed from when Mick Foley was tagged with The Rock against three members of Evolution. And, you know, it looked like Mick was probably on his last legs, but it seemed like he really dedicated himself, got in better shape for this fight, and it really was the last great roar of the King of the Death Matches. And the match lived up to all expectations. Edge delivered, and he really showed, continued to show the level of craziness he has shown in the past with TLC matches and ladder matches and this match, and it was a phenomenal match. You had some crazy, I believe, wasn't there one point where, like, barbed wire was somewhere near Lita's face or some craziness like that?
And that's another thing. You got Lita hanging around ringside. That adds a level of tension and danger to the match. And, you know, it's almost ECW style. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned this is the last hurrah and the last roar for Foley. It was kind of the last hurrah for that kind of style of match in WWE. Because, yeah, you know, as we know, the project has been a little more sanitized lately, a little more PG.
Yeah.
So on the Mania stage, to have this kind of a crazy hardcore match, we may never see it again.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's why it stuck out so much and it landed on our list, because it really is a rarity in for WrestleMania. Because WrestleMania, in its way, is more about classic immortal moments. So you have a lot more traditional matches. I mean, you've had years like a little bit before this time period. You had the, you know, the weird hardcore matches, and that's when they're doing a 24/7 hardcore title kind of thing. You had that element, but nothing like a classic kind of ECW style match. I just never really made this stage, and that's why it sticks out so much for me. But, you know, moving on from that, what's our number 9 on our top 10 WrestleMania list?
Now, for number 9, it's actually a pretty recent one. It's from last year, WrestleMania 32. And it's a match that I think 10, 15, 20 years from now may even increase in the level of importance with the way things are going. It's the women's triple threat match from WrestleMania 32 between Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks for the what was formerly the Divas title turned into the women's title in this match. And it was just a phenomenal showing by the ladies. Arguably, and in the opinion of most people, including you and I, probably the best match on the biggest WrestleMania of all time in terms of attendance. And the ladies delivered. They were talking about the women's revolution coming into its own. This was the coming out party, and they just delivered on the grandest stage of them all.
Yeah, I love this match. I remember watching it the first time, and it blew my mind. And I mean, and like we talked about, I mean, it stuck out the time big time because it was the best match on a pretty pedestrian and mediocre WrestleMania after a great slew of WrestleManias. But watching it again, getting removed from the fact that it stuck out on a weak show, it's still a great match. Like, the level of output, the pace they kept, the grappling in terms of, like, chain wrestling from move to move to move, they're doing three-way moves, and, like, I mean, it in this match that was historic because they were bringing back the women's title and finally putting to rest that god-awful Divas title, they put a final stamp of approval that fantastic high-level women's wrestling is here, and it's here to stay.
Yeah, without question, man. The butterfly belt was put to rest along with the passé notion that women couldn't deliver in the ring. Women were only eye candy. Women were only for, like, the gimmick lingerie matches. These women, and you said it best, you know, it wasn't just the best match on a pedestrian WrestleMania. This would have been a great match on any Mania card. I mean, the women brought it. Sasha with her energy, Charlotte with her crazy athleticism, and Becky, my personal favorite, just brought, you know, the straight fire, as she would put it.
Fire!
Just like that, man. Oh, I love that woman. But, you know, she kind of earned her way into that match with the feud that she had with Charlotte leading up to it. She kind of, you know, came into her own, and the Women's Revolution started to pick up steam and came to a head here. And the women stole the show, man. I mean, and even the entrances, you got to love it. You know, Becky coming out with her steampunk aesthetic. You got Sasha with her ode to Eddie Guerrero, who was an inspiration to her. And Charlotte coming out with the pieces of the robe that Ric Flair wore for his retirement match. Yep. And the pyro, the everything was just pitch perfect. The presentation, all they had to do was deliver, and they surely did.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Now, moving on to number 8. I mean, this is a must. Any top 10 list, it has to be. I'm sure any top 10 list on WrestleMania is going to have this, and it's for good reason. Number 8 from WrestleMania 12, the classic all-timer of the Iron Man match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. You have to have it there. I mean, me and Jose have gone back and forth talking about it. You know, for some people, they might have it higher. I'm sure years passed on different lists, they had it higher. But, you know, it's a match that's still amazing, but it's not a match that's always 100% enjoyable and entertaining every minute. And that's to be expected for a match this long. But that's what's great about it, too, and that these men put in serious work to do a match for an hour straight. Neither men are, you know, slow kind of wrestlers. They grapple, they're very athletic, they're very physical, and the fact that they went a good, you know, 45 minutes, and then that last 15 or so minutes is just a free-for-all of, you know, high spots and close calls, and then you have the overtime, which is just epic. You gotta have this on the list.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is one of the great Mania matches between two of the great Mania performers, and, you know, it's a 60-minute Iron Man match, so obviously, you know, watchability, it depends on how much wrestling you can take. But like some long movies like The Godfather seem to fly by, this is one of those cases, man. Because you got two of the best at the top of their game going at it. The drama, like you said, the last 15 minutes coming down to the wire were just crazy drama and brilliant storytelling and booking to the fact that they went 60 minutes and it was still tied 0-0 at the end. So even if it wasn't an Iron Man match, they would have still gone to a 60-minute time limit. It was just brilliant booking to lead to the overtime, which was just crazy drama, and for certain Bret Hart fans, I'm not going to say who, a disappointing ending.
What are you talking about?
I ain't got a clue. There was a certain someone that was a real big Bret Hart fan that just couldn't stand the overtime and the jip, and kind of felt Bret Hart's pain on that, which he sold great.
I mean, it's not like it still bothers me. Sort of got over it, I mean, you know, away from that, I don't want to get too sad now. But that match was great because it was the rarity, and it's still not a commonplace moment, but it always seems to happen at WrestleMania where you have that classic clash of, like, the two biggest good guys in the company at the same time. Like, you had it with Hogan and Hogan and Ultimate Warrior. You had it later with, say, like, The Rock and Stone Cold. You know, and this was another one. Like, these are always so tough. It's the original split crowd kind of reaction, and not because, oh, some people don't like them and some people like them. This is like they were so popular and they had their devoted fans, and it would just split because they were just so well liked, and that's what's so amazing about it. Now, moving on, number 7. What do you got on our list of number 7, Jose?
Well, for number 7, it's another one that's a couple years old, but still phenomenal. Undertaker, Triple H, Hell in a Cell from WrestleMania 28. This was in Miami. It was the third time that Triple H and Taker had met at Mania, so this was the blow-off.
Yep.
And to add an element to the match, besides Hell in a Cell, you got Shawn Michaels, HBK, who just can't seem to get out of these great WrestleMania matches.
Yes. No, even what. He's roughing in my great match. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, this dude just performs on every level, but he was a special guest referee, and, you know, everybody expected it to be an epic encounter, and it was. Some of the best storytelling you can in any Mania match, the added element of Taker's streak still intact at this point. And we all know how that ended up by 30. But Triple H just hungry, dying to do what HBK couldn't, and which he pointed out numerous times leading up to it, was to try to end Undertaker's streak at Mania. He was just so hungry for it, and HBK being in the middle of it, actually getting involved at some point. It wasn't the most physical Hell in a Cell match. Well, I shouldn't say the most violent in terms of you know, visceral blood, anything like that.
Right.
But it was definitely, you know, intense and just delivered by three professionals at the top of their game. Just an epic encounter.
Yeah, I mean, watching it again, there was a time period where I have gotten away from wrestling, unfortunately. You know, things happen. You have your peaks and valleys just like the industry does. And that was kind of one of those periods, so I had to go back and watch. And some of these matches I had to go back and watch. And that was one of them, and it is. It is just such a great match. And it's, you know, it's not like some of the matches that are to come where it's like a wrestling clinic. It's just three men who understand the, like you said, the storytelling. They understand the drama of the match. They understand, oh, the camera's this close. I can speak loud enough. It can hear me, and I can convey another kind of little layer, put another layer on this storyline to the people at home, you know, and it's so good, you know, the back and forth, the talking, and they're talking, and that's the added element I'm talking about. They're saying things out loud that add so much more to it, and just, it's one of those matches, just like it has been in the Undertaker matches for the last, I don't know, 8-9 years, where it just, you know, close call, you know, near fall after near fall after near fall, getting out of all the great finishers, and it just, you know, you get to a fever pitch, you don't know when it's going to end, and it does. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it really does take you on a ride, man. The near falls in this match were, oh, God, so nail-biting. It really does, you know, suck you into it. It's like 2 3/4, 2 7/8, not mm-hmm. quite 3. And they sold it so well, you know, HBK included. Taker's just an epic performer at Mania, and even more so in later years, and this is a perfect example of that.
Now, moving on to number 6, this is one that I really am happy it's on the list. It's a match that I think should be on all Mania kind of lists, and it's kind of become a hidden gem just because it's WrestleMania. So many things happen, you know, there's so many big stars and big moments, so it kind of get lost in the shuffle sometimes. But number 6 from WrestleMania 21, and just an utter epic between Kurt Angle, the newly minted Hall of Famer in a few days, against another Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels match. I mean, this match, I got to watch it again a few days ago. It is just unbelievable, and it's further mind-blowing that these guys did not plan it out in advance. They kind of just went old school. Let's go out there. We never wrestled before. Let's go out there for the first time and go do it. And they are in there putting on a match like you think they'd been on the road working like for the last 200 days against you. Like, just seamless chemistry. The passion of Kurt Angle, the charisma of Shawn Michaels, the moves, the excellence. I mean, this truly is a dream match because they weren't on the same brand at the same time. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing between... these are the two of the top five all-time in-ring. Not talking about, like, on the mic all-time. We're talking about just in-ring. These are two top five, and you can even make a debate. This is 1 and 2, and it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, not yeah, absolutely right on that. And it's crazy to think that with the talent considered, we're talking about HBK and Kurt Angle, this match almost felt thrown together. It's almost like they didn't have anything really else going on, but the result was we get this epic dream match, and thank God for that, because this match was crazy in the ring in terms of match quality. You know, HBK, this is, you know, the second leg of his career where he kind of came back and just started showing everybody that he still had it in spades. Angle, just, you know, a beast in the ring, an absolute beast. And it, like you said, it's crazy that they didn't really go over it in terms, you know, they just kind of went in there and did it. I heard Sami Zayn and Nakamura did that last year in Dallas, and we saw the result of that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's crazy when that magic occurs in the ring and we get to witness it, and that happened here with two of the greatest of all time on top of that. Go back and watch this match, y'all. I mean, you know, if you want to know how to do everything that entails a great match in terms of selling, athleticism, moves, how crisp it is, you know, feeding into one another's moves, and just drama towards the end, go back and do yourself a favor and go back and watch this wrestling clinic. You won't be sorry.
And a fascinating story to add on to it is that to add to the fact that these are two of the very best athletes to ever be in a wrestling ring, Shawn Michaels recently did an interview. He talked about how he's been a guy that never gotten blown up, and for the people that don't know what blown up means, it just means getting gassed out and really tired in a match with somebody. He's
or
the guy
me
that,
when I'm walking down the block.
Yeah, there you go. And he's the one that does it to most people, but and he had never had to worry about that happening to him against anybody, but he actually respected Kurt Angle so much and feared that he could be the guy that might blow him up in there, that he actually pre-trained before the match just to be on the level, because that's how great of an athlete Kurt Angle was. So, I mean, these two just, it's an epic encounter. Like Jose said it perfectly. If you haven't seen it or you forgot it, you haven't seen it in a long time, you're doing yourself a WrestleMania disservice. Get nostalgia into your heart a little bit. Watch this and check it out. But moving on, we got another clinic. What do we got at number 5?
This match right here, everybody's, you know, anybody who's been a wrestling fan for long enough has heard of this match. It actually turns 30 years old this year, if you can believe it.
Oh, my age.
I tell you, man. And that's, this is us talking, us whole time is talking.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Of course not. That is stricken from the record. We are two young bucks.
Yes.
We're here catching up with our wrestling knowledge.
I've been told I look 25. I believe it, and that's what I'm going with.
Hey, there you go, man. You know, you just roll with it. You keep on rolling with that. I can do the same, but I'll just be lying to myself. But this match right here has inspired countless generations of wrestling fans and wrestlers themselves to get into the business. Of course, we're talking about Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat from WrestleMania 3, Pontiac Silverdome. Just an epic match that still holds up to this day. Now, we actually had questions about that would still hold up, considering the quality of matches that have come out, particularly stuff like HBK and Angle, and just the athleticism on hand. And we found that not only does it hold up, you can still see shades of it even today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was doing myself a disservice on you know, underappreciating this match. So this is why I enjoyed this whole entire project and going back and watching some of these, because it got me to reappreciate. This match is unbelievable. Okay, yeah, they're not doing, you know, moonsaults necessarily or crazy moves, but they are doing, like, pretty risky moves for its time. But the main thing that's amazing about this is that the action is very hard-hitting. It's very physical match, and it's a non-stop match, and that it's like slam, pinfall, kick out, boom, right into another match. There's no walking around. There's no yelling, come on, ref, that was great. There's none of that. It is just constant act. Like, these two must say, look, we're going to put on a show. We're the best athletes in the company. And it's very similar to, like, our Angle and HBK in that way. It's a predecessor in that these are the two best in the company at the time, and they were just going to say, look, this is why we're better than everybody else. We're going to show you, and we're going to show you big time why we're so much better than everybody else.
I mean, they stole the show of what was, you know, the coronation, WrestleMania 3, 93,000. This was Vince's, you know, realization of the vision that he had when he started WrestleMania. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, none of that, you know, walking around, you know, come on, ref. There was plenty of that going on in 1987.
Yeah. Yes.
But not, I mean, go back and watch that card. There was plenty going on in that card.
Yes.
But not in this match. They delivered on all fronts. They really did.
Yep. Now, moving on to number four, and is another just a classic. It's not recent, but it's not old. It's right in that middle sweet spot. It's like early 2000s era. We're talking about the Tag Team TLC 2 match from WrestleMania X7 between the Dudley Boys, the Hardy Boys, and Edge and Christian. Watched it again. I already knew what I was getting into and with the insanity, but watching it again, you know, and it's such a stark contrast. If you're a fan that's got into the, you know, the business in the last maybe 5-6 years or in the last decade, you want to go back and watch it to see how different things are, because one, I will say certain things like Lita doing moves to guys. And then also, I would say Lita getting 3D'd by the Dudley Boys. Because if something could be brought back, Stephanie McMahon needs a 3D. She's not going to get it, but
that's at the very least a 3D.
Yes.
For starters, a 3D.
Also, another clear thing, poor Spike Dudley, who gets involved with the match. Oh, I love Spike. He got Lita just laid into him with a chair shot to his dome that made me just cringe. Like, these are just
straight up unprotected, man.
Yes, these are elements of the business that have gone, and it, for good reason, safety and for PR reasons, but it takes you in a little bit of a time warp of that era, and it's, of that aside, it's pure insanity. These three tag teams are just, they're three of the best all time because of some of these matches.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you almost think like they kind of painted themselves into a corner because they had TLC at WrestleMania 2000.
Yep.
How are they going to top that? Mm-hmm. And here comes X7, and they absolutely top it. And it's funny, going back to Spike Dudley real quick, rewatching that match, one part that cracked me up, he goes into the ring, he gives somebody a shot, then right off the bat, he does the acid drop out of the ring through a table.
Yes.
There's no time doing this. It's like the crowd had no time to sit down during this match.
Yeah.
Because every time they kept adding elements, whether it was Spike Dudley coming down, whether it was Rhino coming down, whether it was Lita coming down, busting out a Hurricane Rana off the top rope.
Yeah, Hurricane Rana. There you go. I forgot the word.
So many maneuvers going on in this match, man. It's hard to keep track, but it was just nonstop for about 15, 20 minutes, just nonstop action from some of the best at the top of their game. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the cherry on top was just the iconic moment of Jeff Hardy swinging from the title belt and Edge coming off with the spear. We've seen it replayed time and time again on on WWE TV, and it just never gets old. The height of where he fell,
yes,
and the camera angle that caught it, it's insanity.
Yeah, I mean, it's like just nonstop. It's like stuntman stuff going on. I mean, there's wrestling there, but it's just stuntman insanity. Like, I mean, there's that the Jeff Hardy one, but the one I also remember too is Matt Hardy and Bubba going off that monster ladder to the outside onto like four tables, like just pure chaos. I mean,
those tables got destroyed. Like literally, you see splinters just flying up. They crashed through. It was amazing, man. It really was.
And just to say, you know, Jeff Hardy did a swanton off the huge ladder onto Rhino and Spike on two tables, and it only broke one, you know, so it's not easy to break these, but these guys were from such a height, it just destroyed them. Just a classic match. Again, if you haven't seen this match, or you're a new fan, you know, young kid, go back and watch the, I mean, that's the fascinating thing about all three of them, is that Edge and Christian won them all. Like, that was the weirdest thing about it, and but I kind of like that, isn't that was just their match. You know, they weren't the beloved team, they weren't the best at a specific thing, but they were like the well-rounded guys you love to hate and hate to love, and they just would pull it out every damn time.
Yeah, and you see the evolution of their gimmick, because at WrestleMania 2000, they were still the moody, brooding Edge and Christian type of cats. But then by X7, they were the goofy, happy-go-lucky Edge and Christian we know now.
Yep.
But they still ended up winning the match. So, yeah, real good point on that.
Now, moving on to our top three. These are the big three. These are the ones that really had to be negotiated with. We had to really, this is where the analyzing,
It was backstage wrangling. They were going back and forth.
Yes. There was maneuvering going on. Like, this is where I don't know if one, I really got it. But, all right, number three, Jose, give them their number three.
All right, man. For number three, now, these top three matches are just insanely epic matches. And we're starting with two of the very best. Kind of in a transition period. This is WrestleMania 13, the legendary submission match between Bret the Hitman Hart and a up-and-coming stalwart named Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it's funny, Stone Cold himself has gone on record saying that he felt kind of weird going into a submission match because he didn't really have any submission moves. He was just hoping to beat him into submission, basically. But this match was brutal. I mean, and it had... things that you didn't normally see in WWE programming at that time. I mean, a submission match, you're thinking a technical, you know, just back and forth wrestling clinic. 30 seconds into the match, they're outside the ring. A minute later, they're over the barrier fighting into the crowd. This goes on for another 5, maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
This match was all over the place. The energy was insane. And it was just two of the best of all time. Bret Hart, who at the time, you know, he had been a legendary babyface run. Through numerous world championships, and then you had Stone Cold just starting to rise and gain that momentum, and it just all culminates into this great storytelling in the submission match. It was just phenomenal to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's a special match. It's a paradigm change moment. It's like a shift change. Like it's a really big moment in the history of sport, because the sport really changed kind of.
It helped us during the Attitude Era.
It went into a totally different trajectory. I mean, careers went in a different trajectory. You know, unbeknownst to us, it was the end of an era. Because not too long after that, you know, you have the whole Montreal Screwjob. Bret leaves, you know, to WCW. So, and Stone Cold becomes eventually the man. I mean, what would you say WrestleMania 13? When was that? What year do you think? 96?
That was 97.
So, I mean, Stone Cold wins the WrestleMania, wins the title for Shawn Michaels in 98, the next year, right?
Yeah, 1 year later, and this was kind of, his coming out party at WrestleMania. 1 year later, he would be the man.
Yeah, so months later, you have the screw job, you have, you know, Stone Cold win the title. So, I mean, it was a huge shift change in the entire sport, and it's a really great match, an interesting story, very physical, two of the best.
The very elusive double turn.
Something that you wish you would see more. You don't see it enough, but just a classic match. It's here for good reason now.
And you know, word to the wise, this match is not for the squeamish.
No.
The last couple of moments of that match are, anybody who's seen the clips know what we're talking about. If you're averse to watching blood and that kind of thing going on, please avert your eyes.
Yes. Now, moving on to number two, which is a match that really doesn't have any blood. And there's not a lot of, there's no moonsaults, there's no, you know, roll-ups too much, and there's not any drop kicks. There's nothing really exciting yet. And number two, it's one of the most epic matches and greatest stories told in just the pure simplicity of professional wrestling. Number two, we have from WrestleMania X8, Hollywood, Hulk Hogan versus The Rock in one of the most spectacular. I was just watching it again this time. It's rare that you know if you're in the arena for something, that's when you really feel the true energy. It's a very rare circumstance where energy comes through a television screen because you're just so disconnected. And that's a match that still, even though it's like 60,000, 70,000 people that were in Toronto, maybe even more than that, and you feel the energy from the start. No, it's not like, oh, 10 minutes in and, 20 minutes in, the match is really having a wild finish and the crowd's finally getting it. No, the crowd was in it from second one. Hogan, they tie up. Hogan pushes The Rock down, flexes in his face, and the crowd was sold, and it was on like Donkey Kong from that moment on.
It's amazing. It really was, man. I mean, it's one of those matches where you remember where you were when you were watching it. Just that it's that ingrained in your memory. And you're right about the energy. You could feel it radiating from the Sky Dome crowd. They were insane for this match. I mean, looking back at it, you had two of the biggest icons in the sport's history, maybe the two biggest in terms of mainstream popularity.
Yep.
And you talk about the quality of the match. We're talking about Hogan, who's notoriously not the greatest worker, but he was on in this match. Yeah. He really was. He was selling it for all it's worth. And this was way after the peak of Hulkamania.
Yes.
And even the peak of the NWO. This was NWO coming into WWE after the fact. But it was just phenomenal seeing him in his element. And then you got The Rock at the height of his popularity, the great one, the people's champ, the Hogan of his era. Mm-hmm. And, you talk about dream matches that happen on the biggest stage of them all. This was maybe one of the biggest dream matches ever, and we got to see it, and it totally delivered that moment that we were hoping for as fans.
Yeah, because you have so many times where you have maybe an older guy come into a match, and it's hard. I mean, wrestling is the weird sport that you can do that because you can't have an older baseball player come in and go against, somebody else that's younger. But, in a simplicity, like Rock did, Rock has been, he's underrated in that. He's been in a lot of good matches. He's not, like some other people. He's had his snoozers kind of matches, but he helped sell that match so well in taking some Hogan shots, some of his clotheslines. Hogan kept it simple. He knew what he needed to do. They both read the crowd so well. And there's no moment in WrestleMania history. I mean, there's very few, maybe like the Seth Rollins, cash in or Ultra Warrior going for the press slam on Hogan or, there's very few moments when Hogan gets rock bottom, kicks out, and he throws up he starts hulking up the crowd. I'm sure most people in the living rooms watching it went absolutely bananas, and I get goosebumps every time I watch it.
Yeah, man. I mean, the roof almost blew off the Sky Dome, to go back to that old cliche, but it's true, man. I mean, the crowd was electric right from the start. I mean, the stare down, everybody was on their feet chanting for Rock, for Hogan, for just, it was deafening. And the moment that you mentioned when Hulk started hulking up, it was like we all converted back to our childhood at that moment, man. Yes. Anybody grew up watching Hogan, seeing him hulk up like the old days, oh, man, it was crazy to see. And it was just sensational. It's everything we want as wrestling fans to feel in that moment.
And the Hulk up is stunning, and it was so well done and such a great surprise because he's the NWO. Just a few weeks ago, Hulk Hogan drove a semi-truck into the rocks as he was laying laid up in an ambulance. So this is supposed to be really bad guy Hogan. And even in the match, it's like he bit him on the face. He beat him with the weightlifting belt. He used the tape to choke him. All these classic cliche bad guy things like, oh, he's bad guy Hogan. It's like that's the story of it. In this epic atmosphere, Hogan has WrestleMania, main evented so many WrestleMania. It's almost like the man. He took a time warp into his previous self, and like the powers within him came out, and he, the Hulkamania dormant abilities were still there, and they came out for this epic moment, and it just like you totally buy in, and you're just like, oh my god, what is happening? What is happening?
Yeah, man, we didn't know how to feel at that moment. Yeah, like you said, for all of his heel, tactics, Hogan was getting a great reaction. The fans were eating it up, man. He had them eating out of the palm of their hands.
Yes.
And Rock, to his credit, played off of that. Anytime they would boo a comeback by him, a spine buster, the people's elbow, he'd just kind of turn into that, Nation of Domination Rock and just kind of throw it right back at him. Just great performances all around, capped off by the great, passing of the torch and show of respect moment at the end. Just awesome stuff from two of the best of all time.
Yep. Now, moving on to the one and only, the final entry into our top 10 WrestleMania picks of all time. There's some similar names in here, but I don't think many will be surprised. Jose, give them the number one top 10 WrestleMania match of all time.
Man, greatest WrestleMania match of all time. You got to go with two of the greatest performers in WrestleMania history. It's the match that everyone talks about, man. It's HBK, Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, 25th anniversary of WrestleMania, Heaven versus Hell, Streak on the Line, Shawn Michaels descending from the heavens in his entrance dressed in white, Undertaker rising from the depths of hell, and they delivered an all-time classic. Seriously, that phrase gets thrown around a lot, but go back and watch this match. I mean, you got two of the best of all time stepping up their game. You know, Undertaker pulling out all the tricks, but it just felt different here. It felt like he just brought it to an extra level. Same goes for Shawn Michaels. I mean, there was a spot in that early on in that match that you brought up, and rewatching it, it was crazy to see, where Shawn Michaels planned a moonsault spot to the outside, and it was a miss.
Yes.
They planned a miss. He put his body on the line, and then how does Undertaker respond? Doing his dive over the top to the outside like he's done tons of times, but the dude straight up books it and lands on his head.
Ugh.
Like Lita style, like Sasha Banks style.
Yes.
This dude is 6'10 and a half,
yes.
300 pounds by his statistics, and he's just flying around like a cruiserweight, man. That's the level of intensity they brought to this match. It was just crazy to see, and just like the Rock Hogan match, the crowd was just eating it up.
And the great thing about it, watching it back, is that the beginning of the match sets a real fun tone in that. The Undertaker's in there, and everybody's worried about The Undertaker. You don't know, and no matter how many people, how many old-timers, epic people are in there, you know, they're purposely showing, like, a fear in their eye, and Undertaker's a stoic, he's straight, he's emotionless, he's just ready to go. But in this one, Undertaker, the one was that he was real fired up, he was ready to go, and Shawn Michaels was just straight, like, I'm not even afraid of you. Like, we've done this a bunch of times, and we're gonna go right now, and I'm gonna beat, and that's what made it interesting. Like, you're like, like, could this be? Like, I don't think it's gonna be the time to streak, but could it be? Like, this is Shawn Michaels. This is Mr. WrestleMania. Like, I don't know. And it's, they put on so many. This is an example of, like, well, Rock and Hogan, they may have had more energy in that match because it was special. It had never been seen before. This match really had a ton of energy. It had a classic Undertaker streak match energy, but it had that much more because anything with Shawn Michaels, he is just pure electricity. Like, he, honestly, I love The Rock, but Shawn Michaels is probably the most electrifying man in sports entertainment because he does it with his ring work, and he's just mesmerizing. He just brings a passion and life to any match. So you have those two forces converging into an energy, and then they're telling a great story. They're doing great stuff. The near falls, it is just the perfect mix of all the kind of elements you need, even history, because these guys have like a 15-year or 20-year history to go back on, and they're still surprising us with what they can do. It had all the elements you need to make an all-time great WrestleMania match, and all the elements you need to make the best WrestleMania match of all time.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's everything you got asked for, and you mentioned the history that they had. I mean, even going back, we mentioned Hell in a Cell earlier. The very first Hell in a Cell match back in Bad Blood, Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker. They you know, brought that in. They kind of set the bar with that match. Fast forward years later, they made at WrestleMania. And what did they do? they delivered the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. So, I mean, you know, what more can you say? I mean, this match gets thrown around a lot as the greatest. And it's kind of, you know, what people say, is it really that good? Yes, it really is that good. And these two are really that top-notch.
And there's a major match. We got the Iron Man match. We got Steamboat Savage. We have all these matches are phenomenal. Rock Hogan. But this is above those just because what all of those lack on some level, be it story, be it history, be it match quality, all of these on some level fall a little short. They're all spectacular. They fall a little short. This match has every element. It has everything.
Hence, the number one greatest match of all time, at least according to Cheap Seats and the Stickman.
And that's the only decision that matters to me. Right, everybody?
In this matter. Accept no substitutes.
Exactly. Now, that is our show. We had a great time analyzing this for you people. You know, if you feel we were correct, you feel we were wrong, you feel we left something out, please comment away in the comment section. Let us know what you think. Hope you enjoyed it. It was a fun experience. We're going to have another great experience this Sunday with WrestleMania that we're all looking forward to. Any final thoughts, Jose?
Nah, man, I think we covered it all, man. And it was, like you said, this is so fun looking back on these matches, man, going through. And even some of the matches that didn't quite make the list, just going back and watching these matches, so much fun. So great to talk about it. And hopefully we'll get some more great moments coming up this Sunday with a fresh WrestleMania.
All right. I am Jason Burgos, a.k.a. Cheap Seats. He is Jose Maldonado, a.k.a. Stickman. See you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.